namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Continuing, Canto 3, Chapter 20. The process of creation, the sub-creation, Brahma's activity. We're going to hear some prayers offered by the demigods after seeing all that they've seen, and specifically the appearance of the Manus. So the demigods and Gandharvas and everyone applauded Brahma, the Lord of the universe, and they prayed. Text 51. O Creator of the universe, we are glad. What you have produced is well done. Since ritualistic acts have now been established soundly in this human form, we shall all share the sacrificial purport. The importance of sacrifice is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, verse 10. The Lord confirms that in the beginning of creation, Brahma created the Manus along with the ritualistic sacrificial method and blessed them. Quote, continue these sacrificial rites and you'll gradually be elevated to your proper position of self-realization and will also enjoy material happiness. Unquote. All the living entities created by Brahma are conditioned souls and are inclined to lord it over material nature. The purpose of sacrificial rituals is to revive gradually the spiritual realization of the living entities. That is the beginning of life within this universe. These sacrificial rituals, however, are intended to please the Supreme Lord. Unless one pleases the Supreme Lord, or unless one is Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy either in material enjoyment or in spiritual realization. Text 52. Having equipped himself with austere penance, adoration, mental concentration, and absorption in devotion, accompanied by dispassion, and having controlled his senses, Brahma, the self-born living creature, evolved great sages as his beloved sons. Purport. The ritualistic performances of sacrifice are meant for material economic development. In other words, they are meant to keep the body in good condition for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. But for actual attainment of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed. What is essential is vidya, or worship of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the word yoga is used to refer to the gymnastic performances of different bodily postures which help mental concentration. Generally, the different bodily postures in the yoga system are accepted by less intelligent men to be the end of yoga. But actually, they are meant to concentrate the mind upon the Supersoul. After creating persons for economic development, Brahma created sages who would set the example for spiritual realization. And then the final verse of the chapter is text 53. To each of these sons, the unborn creator of the universe gave a part of his own body, which was characterized by deep meditation, mental concentration, supernatural power, austerity, adoration, and renunciation. Same list. Purport. The word vira Viraktimat in this verse means possessed of the qualification of renunciation. Spiritual realization cannot be attained by materialistic persons. For those who are addicted to sense enjoyment, spiritual realization is not possible. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that those who are too attached to seeking material possessions and material enjoyment cannot reach yoga, samadhi, absorption in Krishna consciousness, propaganda, that one can enjoy this life materially and at the same time spiritually advance is simply bogus. The principles of renunciation are four. 1. To avoid illicit sex life. 2. To avoid meat eating. 3. To avoid intoxication. And 4. To avoid gambling. These four principles are called tapasya, or austerity. To absorb the mind in the Supreme, in Krishna consciousness, is the process of spiritual realization. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 20th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. Of course, the conversation continues, and the first of the Manus is Swayambhuva Manu, and then Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa and their children, then speaking about Devahuti as one of the daughters, and then Devahuti's marriage, and the whole discussion flows leading up to Kapila's instructions to Devahuti, the Sankhya philosophy portion of the third canto. So this is what precedes that, and Prabhupada used the word spool, just like a thread is sometimes wound around a spool, like a little, used to be wooden, now it's plastic or something else, and wound and around and around and around, and so that what is wound around is a spool. It's called the spool of thread. Or, at least my understanding of how Prabhupada spoke about it was not so much about thread. The way that motion pictures were displayed some time ago during his time, where the images one after the next were embedded in some kind of a plastic fabric, and then the projector would run the film with a high intensity light and show the moving picture after picture, little impressions that are slightly different one after the next. And he used that metaphor. He used it in many ways, but to describe Krishna's pastimes, it's like a spool. And as we mentioned the other day, time is cyclical, kala chakra. Chakra in that case, not just the disc of Lord Vishnu, but a circle or cycle, a moving cycle of time. And so Krishna's pastimes are like that, and that's on the spiritual side, eternal pastimes, and the material creation is also on a kala chakra. We heard that one as well. Well, that's mentioned specifically, we discussed it, Devaki's glorification of Vasudev Krishna is that he is the source of this kala chakra, and he, when he wants to terminate the creation, he would draws time and everything collapses, we discussed. So this is all happening by the movements of time, and the movements of time are under the control of Lord Vishnu. It's his energy. And Brahma is generated by Vishnu. At least the body of Brahma is generated by Lord Vishnu, because the soul is eternal. And according to the plan of the Supreme Lord, this spool of activity, time keeps moving and keeps moving and keeps moving and keeps moving, and so the creation unfolds. That is to say, Brahma can't do what he does without time, without Kala Chakra. Say it positively. He can do what he does because of the power of Kala Chakra. And along with the power of Kala Chakra comes the plan of the Supreme Lord, the plan specifically of the sequence of events in terms of the manifesting once again these entities we discussed yesterday, the Siddhas and the Charanas and the Gandharvas and the Pitris, and those living entities are just continuing where they left off from the previous creation. They're withdrawn within the body of Mahavishnu and then released, and a universe's worth of living entities are within the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who then, by the movements of his time energy, the lotus appears. There's a description in this third canto. The lotus is the totality of karma of those living entities. That's what the lotus is. And as the totality of karma awakens through the force of time, it manifests in the form of a lotus. And amongst all those living entities that have some karma, one is Lord Brahma. And even he has good karma, or more than good karma, like superlative karma. It's stated in the purports of the Bhagavatam, the post of Brahma is accessible for someone who for 100 lifetimes has perfectly executed varna and ashram. Now try it for one day. Try it for 1 hour. Try it for one muhurta. But 100, so he's very qualified. But even with that qualification, he still isn't fully self-realized until he receives the mercy of Krishna. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Krishna awakens his full Krishna consciousness in reciprocation with the submission of Brahma, the tapa of the acquisitiveness of Brahma, and his tapasya, and that tapasya specifically is meditation upon the mantra or mantras, two mantras that he receives, and Krishna enlightens him from within. Superlatively qualified. So if you're qualified like Brahma, then Krishna can be your spiritual master. And otherwise, from Brahma comes Narada, and Narada receives knowledge from Brahma, and so forth in disciplic succession. Then one requires a spiritual master to awaken that knowledge. In the purport, Prabhupada says, along with all Brahma has, that he then in turn passes on to Manu and to the great sages is Vidya, or knowledge. Because why? Because the root cause of material existence is ignorance. The root cause of suffering in material existence is ignorance. And that ignorance, we've said this so many times, the original ignorance is ignoring Krishna. And from that ignorance comes so many other ignorances, material existence, in varieties of ignorance. There's no exception. Everyone that has one of these things, a material body, is a flag. Prabhupada uses that term, a flag, like a king or a kingdom or a nation. There's a flag that's flapping in the wind that says whatever, you know, we belong to this. We belong to this group or this nation or this dynasty or whatever it is. So it's an indication of something. And the body is a flag. It's an indication of something. Ignorance. Sharira avidya jal, we say. Sharira, this body is a lump of ignorance. Sharira avidya jal, lump of ignorance. And the senses are a network of paths leading to death. That's that nice prasadam prayer that we say. Jitendriya tahe kal. The senses are a network of paths leading to death. That, you know, pursue the friends, pursue happiness through the senses, and that's where you go. Down. So, human life is meant to not go down, it's meant to go up. And to go up, one needs not just austerity, one needs vidya. One needs knowledge. One needs to remove ignorance. And that's the opportunity that we have. So, he equates, it's very interesting, Krishna consciousness with vidya. Here. For actual attainment of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed. There's a list of these ritualistic performances. Because the Vedas, largely, are the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, which teaches different sacrifices, yajna, to meant to propitiate the devas so that one's necessities can be supplied. It's the upward movement of the living entity. Besides the ignorance or atheism of ignoring God and just working hard to achieve necessities of life, the Vedic principle is honor those who dispense those necessities. And ultimately, the dispensing of those necessities is in the hand of Lord Vishnu, and therefore, in all Vedic yajnas, there's a statement of who is the bhokta of the yajna. Now, we know that from Bhagavad Gita, bhoktaram yajna tapasam, and I once upon a time skipped the long story, but I was invited to a gathering where at a hint to be the speaker, but before I spoke, the priest was doing a yajna. And I never attended anything like that, so I was curious what it's like. And the first mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I thought, wow, this is pretty good. And then it went, you know, Ganesha and the Deva and the family and their Gotra and on and on and on to get what they want by sacrifice. But he's the bhokta of the yajna. Now how much attention the priest is paying or the person who's engaging the priest to do the yajna is thinking, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudeva is to be pleased by this. But that's the intention. The deeper intention So Krishna through the agency of Brahma, or Vishnu through the agency of Brahma, is not whimsical. He doesn't just create and then walk away and everybody can rot or fend for themselves or something. He exactly in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, at the beginning of creation, he sent forth generations of men and demigods, and with them sacrifice. Continue these sacrificial rites and you will gradually be elevated to your proper position of self-realization and will also enjoy material happiness. So it's not simply enjoy material happiness, nor is it simply enjoy material happiness and go to the heavenly realm after this life. Many people think that's it. There's nothing more than this. Go to heaven. Enjoy. Prosper. Enjoy. And go to heaven. And that's it. And explicitly in Bhagavad Gita, that's not it. It's not everything. And spiritual realization, the purpose of the sacrifices, Vishnu is to be pleased. Yajna by Vishnu. Yajna means, and it's meant for the pleasure of Vishnu. That's the purpose. Not a whimsical creation, it's a creation where necessities are bountifully supplied, provided one follows these codes of Dharma, and then eventually, gradually, you can say, the fullness of spiritual realization. The fullness of spiritual realization is possible through bhakti, not through jnana, not through karma, or trying for fruitive activities, even theistic fruitive activities, for the purpose of becoming the enjoyer of the senses. No. For satisfying Vishnu, yes. So bhakti is direct. Doesn't mean we don't perform sacrifices. But the purpose of the sacrifice or the austerity or the meditation or the whatever is self-realization. Self-realization means God-realization. You don't have self-realization without God-realization. It's an illusion. It's false. Self-realization without God-realization. There's a lot of ignorance in this world. I don't know so much about book publication, but I know people that do. And so one of the things that they do is whenever they're traveling, they stop in the bookstore and see what's popular. And what's been really popular is self-help books. Right? Big sellers. So you have potential and develop your potential. And it's godless. Not for depending upon God or for the purpose of pleasing God. It's just you have potential and develop your potential. As a speaker, as a leader, as a this or as a that. Education, become a mechanic or become an engineer or become a whatever. You have the potential and here's the people that can teach you how to fulfill your potential. And it's godless. Prabhupada speaks about knowledge, because that's in the verse. There's the material knowledge, and that's useful. But minus spiritual understanding, it's ignorance. And then he would say, where is that university that teaches knowledge of the transcendental self? He challenged the people at MIT. First time he was invited to speak there. MIT is big, prestigious institution. You have so many departments of knowledge here at MIT. Where is that department that teaches the knowledge of the soul, the technology of the soul? Where? and where in the world is. So that's that paucity of transcendental real knowledge. It is transcendental knowledge minus transcendental knowledge. It's avidya, right? From Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad, two verses that teach one needs to know the difference between vidya and avidya. So knowledge or education, it of trans self and God is avidya. And the cultivation of avidya leads to one place, and the cultivation of vidya leads to another place. That's what Ishopanishad teaches. Very clear. And this vidya, the way Prabhupada is writing it, is for actual attainment of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed aside from these Vedic yajnas. What is essential is vidya, or worship of the Supreme Lord. You know, that's self-realization, God-realization, through worship of the Supreme Lord. Even doing the yajnas, or what to speak of whatever else one may do. In bhakti, it's, you know, from the get-go. It's the teaching of transcendental knowledge from Brahma, the teaching of the Bhagavatam, and the commentators of the Bhagavatam are teaching us over and over and over and over that the absolute necessity, the need, like your Krishna Maharaj's whole presentation on needs, that's a need to connect with the Supreme. And then there are means to connect with the Supreme, and so that's a need, those different means. You can change the language and say something that I really want, but the wanting is resting upon who we really are, and self-discovery is a transcendental need, not a worrisome need. If I don't do this, I'm going to be miserable. And I don't want to be miserable, so I'll do this. That's a different kind of an approach. The positive is, inside, I know there's a connection with transcendence. What exactly transcendence is, I'm learning from disciplic succession and Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, I very much want to read them because it's awakening that transcendental knowledge. We had discussion with the youth, not so attracted to reading. They were using the term nonfiction. Like fiction. More relatable. So, where's the fiction going to lead one, and where's the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita going to lead one? But anyway, the transcendental message is to awaken that attraction for self-realization, starting with the chanting of the holy name. Start, because Chaitha Dharpana Marjanam, it cleanses. The Prabhupada is here speaking about the process of sacrifice that comes with the Vedas, the process of yoga. So, jnana, karma, and yoga. He's dealing with all three. Jnana in the speculative sense, karma in the sacrifice through fruitive activities sense, and yoga. So, that yoga asanas are not an end in themselves. People like it for a variety of reasons. Make you feel good. You can feel more relaxed, and your body is more fit and health, and there's all those nice benefits. And go a little bit further, and it can help you concentrate. So what's the purpose of the concentration? That is a purpose. And the purpose of the concentration is concentration on Super Soul. It can help one chant, to concentrate while chanting. You know, that's where a lot of people that are devotees that are teaching yoga for a living is to help people get to the point where they can then have kirtan or japa or both and be concentrated on the sound and feel wow. Their purpose may not be spiritual elevation, but if done properly, that's where it leads to. Then we hear so Manu is there, he's the lawgiver of mankind. Lawgiver of mankind. Specifically, the human form of life. And gives laws for the human form of life. Laws for the human form of life, that's Dharma. Laws to live by coming from God through Manu, or through Brahma to Manu, to mankind. And then Manu, he's Kshatriya. He's administrator of the universe and gives laws. That's administrators do that. Then next comes the sages. No, it's not detailed, it's just touching on different steps. Later it's going to come again and give some details. But the sages are produced. Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas have different functions. They're to be prajapatis, and they're to give knowledge to the praja that comes from Manu and from Brahma, ultimately Lord Krishna. Prabhupada chooses to emphasize one of the qualifications. Here's the list. To each one of these sons, the unborn creator of the universe gave a part of his own body, which was characterized by deep meditation, samadhi, yoga, concentration of the mind, riddhi, supernatural power, tapa, austerity, vidya, knowledge, virakti, mat. So he chooses to emphasize this virakti, mat. Mat or vat are very similar, like Bhagavan is one who possesses bhagas. Acharyavan is one who has a spiritual master, an acharya, guru. So, vat or mat. Virakti, mat. Possessed of qualification of renunciation. So he chooses to focus on that in the purport. You can't get spiritual realization without virakti mat, without possessing detachment. Now, possessing detachment, just like the discussion yesterday of Akinchana Gochara or Akinchana Vitaya, Queen Kunti's prayers, doesn't mean giving things up. That's false. Palgu Vairagya. Palgu Vairagya. Rupa Goswami's terminology. That which is in relation to Hari and you renounce it is false. Not yours to renounce. So what is complete renunciation is recognizing the connection of things with Krishna without attachment to the sensibility of trying to be the enjoyer of the objects that belong to Krishna. You engage them yukta vairagya. That's complete renunciation. That's Rupa Goswami's language. It's right here in Prabhupada's purport. It doesn't make reference to Rupa Goswami, but it's renunciation in the higher sense is chapter 5 Bhagavad Gita. It's attachment to the Supreme. And when there's attachment to the Supreme, you don't have to give things up that don't belong to you. You recognize who they belong to and then you gave them in service of who they belong to. That's bhakti. The objects of the senses are the property of Krishna. The senses are the property of Krishna. I'm the property of Krishna. And my identity, my function, my purpose of life is to serve and please Krishna. I'm his servant. Jivaya Swarupaya Nitya Krishna Das. So I am. And then the body and the objects of the senses, and you live that way in devotion to Krishna. And that's this Virakti Mat. So without that Virakti Mat, to say differently, without bhakti, the Virakti is incomplete or false. Sometimes say monkeys, they go naked. They don't they go from tree to tree, and so people the false renouncers may also go naked and not possess anything or try to not possess anything. They're monkeys do the same thing. What's the difference? Well, the intention of that renunciation is what? It's reaching transcendence. But you can't reach transcendence just by that kind of renunciation. It has to be attachment to the Supreme. That's the message here. It's the whole system of creation. Say it one more time, this last purport. Without Virakti Mat, that spiritual realization isn't going to take place. Whoever, whatever. And others teach differently, and it's wrong. And if it's just renunciation, it's wrong or incomplete. You're way over this way or way over that way. Indulge or deny. It's incomplete. The attachment to the Supreme and being in service to the Supreme in whatever one does. Yad karoshi, yad asnasi, yad jahosi, dadasi, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurasha madarpanam. Madarpanam. Worship me by those methods. The teaching is very clear. Just the mind is a rascal. I want to enjoy. Can't let go of that. I want to enjoy spirit. And so consciousness remains clouded. Karmatmaka yena sharira bandha. Rishabhdev's teachings. The mind becomes colored or polluted. You can't see. You can see, but you can't see. Like Kunti was saying in her prayers, I see, but I can't see. She's likening herself to a conditioned soul, attached conditioned soul. That's her humility. Yes, Krishna's mysterious. But she understands the mystery about him because of her devotion. And more devotion and more disclosure of the mystery. But the goal is not just like, hey, I want to unravel the mystery. The goal, the higher goal, is being connected and strongly in one's relationship with Krishna. The mode of simply pleasing him. Such a nice message, such a nice way of life. Okay. Two sleeping boys, but you're still awake. Nice going. You sat and listened attentively. Looked like it, anyways. Any discussion? Go ahead, try.
Yeah. I just want to understand the lotus thing you said.
The lotus?
Yeah. So I just want to
Should I say it again?
Yeah.
According to, I can't recall if it's a verse or purport, but the statement is, that lotus that comes from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, what is it? It is the sum total of the karma of the living entities that are within the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So we have Mahavishnu glancing and Samasti, the totality of living entities, that's a lot of living entities, are carried by the glance into Pradhan. And then Pradhan starts separating out, and then there's elements. And from the body of Mahavishnu, aside from the glance, comes these golden orbs, like seeds. And the elements, Bhaktisiddhanta's word is conglomerate, or they cling. They start gathering around those the seeds of the universe. And so there's this universe, or the shell of the universe, or the elements that make up the universe. And so many other things happen. Then Garbhadakshay Vishnu enters within each universe. As he enters within each universe, 1 universe's worth of living entities are then within his body. Those which were previously the totality in Mahavishnu's body, they're now within Garbhadakshay Vishnu's body. But time is moving. Tick, tick. And so karma is awakening because it was dormant. Time. Karma fructified and fulfilled. So as that karma awakens, it comes from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu as a lotus, a stem, and a flower. And one of those universes worth of living entities is Brahma. And Brahma appears at the top of that lotus flower. So that's what the stem is, the lotus is, according to our acharyas and according to the scripture.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. My question is from last night's class about the Lord's, is he partial or impartial? I have a friend who had had very difficult life.
I have one too.
But he's a really good person. So he blames God in one sense, that Lord is partial and he hasn't rewarded me for my good deeds that I've done. So, and, you know, he's not ready to listen or anything. Is there a simple way to explain?
No. I mean, there's a simple way to explain, but a simple way to have the person accept, that's another question. Sure, you remember one of the explanations given by Vishwanath, paraphrasing Kunti's prayers, or explaining Kunti's prayers, is this pious, good person, friend of yours, has some tiefer matter. And that's the standard of God's mercy, is the affinity for matter gets fulfilled. You know, there's an expectation. This came in our discussion with the youth. You know, actually wasn't you, just getting you to pay attention. Sometimes I struggle, and I take my struggle and sadness to the altar and pour my heart out, and I'm expecting something, like the sadness is going to go away. If the sadness doesn't go away, then Krishna isn't hearing. So what Vishwanath is saying, that the vipada is that commentary on that verse, that calamity or difficulty or suffering is a medicine to teach one that the affinity for matter is not the platform of happiness, is not the platform of a relationship with God either. Now, you know, the rational mind says, well, okay, but you know, at least I should get some sukha, even I get some dukkha. It's only fair. Otherwise, God's not nice. But if it endures, then, and the person is pious, it doesn't just mean, well, back there's all this bad karma and it's getting some bad karma unloaded. It could be that, but it doesn't have to mean that. It can just mean it's a special opportunity to bring one to the position of not expecting happiness in the form of material prosperity or fulfillment of desire, but another happiness is, real happiness is something else. There are certain situations like that in life. Now, if there's abundance of prosperity, is that the nature of our relationship with God? Well, for some people, yes. But it's not necessarily, by any means. It may be an act of special mercy. It may be, you know, some bad karma back there, a whole pile of it. And I'm being released from that bad karma back there. So, another expression, it was a different one of Kunti's verses, but you know, the sun shines equally everywhere. And then there's the receptivity part. And one can take what looks like, hey, it's not going well, that's not fair, as there's some plan of Krishna, I don't know what it is. And like that little story we heard of the book distributor, that somebody didn't take the book and then they came back and they took the book. So maybe circumstance, we don't understand the plan of the Supreme Lord. But it's the best interest of the living entity. That's what he has in mind. So that's fundamental. Yeah, but it's got to look like this. It can't look like that. Why does it have to look like this and it can't look like that? Special mercy can come anyway. Anyway. I'd like this nice discussion with Haridas Thakur and the persons that were in the prison in Puliya, when he was put in jail to await his hearing before the Qazi. And when the people saw him, oh, the sadhu has come to the prison, how great fortune. Please give us your blessing. My blessing is may you stay like this. No, I don't mean stay in jail. I mean this mood of calling out for Krishna with no opportunity for sense gratification. You know, your freedom is very much restricted. And in that condition, your dependence upon the Supreme is great. God, please help me. Because in a few days you're going to get released and that restriction is going to be gone. And now what? What's going to happen then? May you stay in that consciousness of dependence. So it's a superimposed austerity to help in many ways. I don't want the superimposed austerity. God's not nice. Piety alone is insufficient. Quality that's resting upon piety, you know, a good person has good quality, and their quality alone sufficient, your good conduct, good speech, kindness, etc., etc. It's all meant for a higher purpose, and the higher purpose is loving service to the personality of Godhead in whatever the circumstance. So that needs to be awakened. And, you know, if you can somehow be an agent of that, that's fantastic. It may take, you know, years, not minutes. Maybe Krishna's giving you some service opportunity. Even if there's like a little movement. And the criterion isn't, well, you know, I'm prospering, so I don't have the problem that you have. But, you know, just let it be principle-based somehow. So it's not a simple procedure helping somebody who's stuck in that space. They only want one thing. Is, you know, that misfortune shifts to fortune, then Krishna's nice. But it may not happen. It may not happen for a long time. Anything? Oh, yeah. Can you put the button on and keep the microphone in one place, like in front of your mouth, instead of moving around like that? There we go.
My question was about love. In the first cycle of creation, when Lord has desire to create, Lord Brahma appears on the... I mean, the lotus appears and Lord Brahma...
Yeah.
And then it is also, you have also said that one who follows Varna and Asrama strictly for 100 lifetimes is eligible to become Lord Brahma.
No? I'm listening.
So,
where does the first Brahma come from if it takes 100 lifetimes?
No. My initial creation, I thought Lord has the templates for everyone. Lord Brahma.
And there's many. There's like 8 different sources that Brahma can come from. I mentioned one.
Oh, okay. Oh. I mean, there is Lord... Lord Brahma is there, the Saptarshis are there, the Four Kumaras are there. And Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the very source of all of them. They do not know me.
What's the problem?
Yes. these other living entities can become the Saptarshis for one cycle. you know, and the Lord Brahma for one cycle, they go back and they can...
They may not go back. Many things can happen after Brahma's lifetime too. There's four or five of them. Listen, go back and listen to the Brahma Samhita seminar. It's there. So don't get stuck. Don't use your college brain to sort out complexity. You'll spin out. Okay?
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The point that you mentioned for the children, they are so much eager to read a lot of fiction.
Yeah.
Things. I mean, what would be some of the ways that create the interest or convert that attention from reading from those scriptures?
So, there's three things. Read with them. It takes time, but then it can be, you can, you know, interest will be held because it's not just sitting alone, it's in a relationship, like, you know, sitting chanting japa and being in kirtan. Being in kirtan is much easier. So, read together and explain and ask questions and what's your understanding, and, you know, keep it lively. Another is cultivation, a little bit, you know, the other things, a little bit, just so titrate in the spiritual happiness that comes from spiritual sound vibration through reading, and reading specifically those things that have stories. Lots of things that have stories. I know adults that really like Mahabharata and they have a tough time reading, you know, the Bhagavatam. Although Bhagavatam is a story, but it's just story after story, there's not so much purport in it. They like it. So, Mahabharata and Ramayana. And then, you know, renderings of the Bhagavatam stories that's for children, not, you know, whatever it's called, chitra comic books, but, you know, devotee presentations on things that have nice illustrations and narrate the story, and, you know, they'll come to know the story, they'll be very happy. And then the other was mentioned the other evening, Monday evening. Association with other children that like to read. Some do and some don't. The association with like-minded persons. Some that has a liking for kirtan associated with persons that have liking for kirtan. It's more easy to develop liking for kirtan, or liking for japa, or reading. So those are, it's a cultivation, little by little.
To follow up question.
Yeah, parenting topic goes on forever. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he likes to read Maharaj very much. I mean, even like Bhagavatam and all the stories. But, I mean, when we try to read together, what happens actually, I mean, the flow has to go very quick. I mean, I like to go down and then try to discuss and all, but that doesn't a lot of times works. So, I was just trying to understand how to get that done.
Sometimes and sometimes, that's how. That's a relationship. By the way, Arudha, some of you know who she is. Homeschooling queen, Acharya, I should say, is going to be visiting in St. Louis. I think it's this coming weekend. And all day Saturday is a parenting seminar. And even if you can't go, probably they can have it live broadcast. Spread the word. Contact somebody in St. Louis and find out. But she's an amazing person. And then the following day, her son's going to be with her, one of her sons. I think it's Radhika Raman. And he's going to give the Sunday Feast lecture. I think it's this weekend. But a parenting seminar by Aruta has got to be good. Maybe find, because I looked on their website, there's nothing. So I complained. Put something on your website so people can know when and tune in and even come and be with her and ask questions, because parenting is a forever topic. Thank you very much, Prabhupada. Keep...